The truth is, normal is never coming back. But the really, really good news is that Jesus Christ most certainly is. As we look back at 2021 and see some of the changes that our society has gone through over the last year, stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we're going to be looking back at some of the things that have taken place over the last year. But specifically, we're going to be looking at some studies that have recently come out concerning where people's hearts are right now in terms of their depression, where people are in terms of their viewing adult material. It's not so much adult material as it is perverted material, but nonetheless, we will get into that during this show. But I wanted to talk a lot about the fact that so many people are really concerned with getting back to normal. They really want it no longer to be what we're going through right now, whether it's sickness or otherwise or governmental control. And the reality is people want to go back to 2019, early 2019. People want to get away from 2020. They want to get away from 2021 and they want to go back to normal. But the reality is that things have changed. And the great thing for us as believers, and I know I'm burying the lead here, but guess what? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we're going to look back at some of the statistics, some of the things that have come out regarding where people's hearts are at right now, at least in this country, we have to do that recognizing the hope that we have in Jesus and recognizing that this day and in this hour, in this week, in this month, and in this year, no matter what, if your hope is fixed on Jesus Christ, he does not disappoint. If your hope is fixed on a jab that might help you out and fix you, I'm sorry, that's probably going to disappoint you. If your hope is fixed on your favorite sports team winning a championship, eventually they're going to let you down. Trust me, I know. But nonetheless, it is important to recognize over and over and over again that reality, and not just simply have it as a caveat to your life that Jesus is your hope, but my hope and my prayer for you is that reality manifest in the way that you live your life on a day-to-day basis, that you have a joy inside of you that is unexplainable, that you have something in you right now that the world can never have, cannot garner, no amount of money can buy it, no amount of anything outside of a relationship with the living God can get you to a place where you actually have sustainable joy that does not leave, that you have a fountain living inside of you that springs living water. There is nothing that is going to satisfy. And I say all that, and I hopefully prepare your hearts, because some of the things are very heartbreaking to listen to when we read some of the statistics about what is going on with so many people, specifically young people, and where their hearts are at right now. In fact, a study by Boston University showed that depression among adults in the United States tripled in the early 2020 months of the global thing. We're going to try not to use those words because we don't want our videos taken down or suppressed, but jumping from 8.5% before the pandemic to a staggering 27.8% of adults who say they are depressed. And new research, now that was in 2020. New research from Boston University School of Public Health reveals that the elevated rate of depression has persisted into 2021, and it's actually worsened, going all the way up to 32.8% and affecting basically one in every three American adults, that isolating them inside their homes and fear-mongering from media, for some reason, this is depressing people. Who would have guessed that? But the reality is that this is what takes place when your hope is found in the government, when your hope is found, honestly, in anything other than the one true God. Because I could see, as someone, as a non-believer, as I lived my life as a non-believer for so many years, for almost 21 years of my life, and the reality is that I totally understand why you would be depressed if this is the world you look at, that when you walk outside, you basically have to put a diaper on your face and walk around and you can't smile at people or see them if you're in some places. Don't get me wrong. Different states seem a lot different. We visited Texas. It seemed a lot different than what we're doing around here. And in fact, here where I live in Ventura County is very, very different than just visiting Los Angeles County about 5 minutes past my house, where everything is very different. Or even, like I said, from state to state, things are different. I mean, from country to country, look at Australia. We have so many good brothers and sisters out there who love the Lord and some of the things they've had to go through. I imagine that is quite distressing. Now try to imagine doing all that without the Lord, without a hope in this world, or the world, more importantly, the world to come. Just imagine that. Imagine that you are told over and over again by trusted news sources, trusted by obviously the people trusting them, over and over again, that this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to take place, you need to lock down, but yet your friends who seemingly don't care about any of this aren't locking down, and now they are the enemy. Just look at what, you know, on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue put out on their press release, that those who do not have a jab in their arm are basically going to have a cold, deathly winter. And that's the reality that they're told by the higher-ups, so to speak. And so it is heartbreaking to think about these things and to think about these things if you don't have hope. And one of the things I really wanted to talk about today is making sure your hope is in the right place for the upcoming year and for the rest of your life, really, because there are so many people that are placing their hope in overrunning the government. There are so many people that are placing their hope in, if I get the right candidate in, then finally, we can control this country and we can have it a Christian nation, even though, you know, obviously with the blood of over 60 million babies being spread out in this country over many, many years since Roe v. Wade doing it legally. And it's heartbreaking to think about that and think maybe if we get the right candidates, maybe if we have the right public officials, then we can have some hope. And I just have to be honest with you, that's probably not going to take place. Maybe there'll be some reprieve if the Lord tarries. And I totally understand wanting to see that. But I also know that every time I've seen believers who I love fix their hope on some candidate or some person, they've always let them down in some regard or the next. And I think that all of that needs to take us to the proper place in a reminder that this place is not our home. In the reality that when it comes to Jesus Christ, he says he goes to prepare a place for us. And I know my Jesus Christ who goes to prepare a place for me, who also created this entire world in 6 days, that same God has been there for 2,000 years almost, building a place for me, building a place for you. And that's what we need to look forward to. We need to no longer be residents of this world, not recognizing that our residency is in heaven. This is not our home. And so when we place our hope and our faith in what our government can do, a lot of times that is going to lead us astray. That is why the Bible is very clear in Jeremiah chapter 17 that it's a woe, it's a judgment for somebody who puts their trust in men. We don't want to do that. And I say that with the recent speaking engagement, and this lines up with some of the things we've been talking about and warning about all this year. We did a series entitled Bethel or Bethel, covering the Bethel Church in Redding, California. And when we did that series, it ended up being 6 parts. One was answering their rebuttal to a lot of the things that we stated. But nonetheless, one of the things we talked about is the interlinking so often when it comes to those pushing new apostolic reformation doctrines. This idea that there are now apostles on this earth, and a lot of times that's connected to the Seven Mountain Mandate, as Bill Johnson from Bethel and Lance Wallnau have been the popularizers of that said movement, but to see it then eke itself into church movements that I've loved over the years, in all honesty, and so many people have come to the Lord through things like Calvary Chapel, but to see the biggest mouthpieces on Calvary Chapel now being the same ones who are pushing NAR leaders, guys like Sean Foyt being pushed and speaking at churches, locally even, regarding these things. And he is from Bethel. He is a NAR believer. He is not somebody who we consider a brethren of the faith. And yet his the popularization of Sean Foyt and those of his ilk has become more and more prevalent, even inside the Calvary Chapel movement that I love so much. And it breaks my heart. And just this last weekend, as we talked about, guys teaming up over and over again, not only with guys like Sean Foyt, but also in the government, who guys like Ted Cruz and so forth, whose father believed he was going to help bring in that Seven Mountain mandate and become president, and he never did. But nonetheless, these guys now are teaming up and popularizing this idea. And this just happened recently in Arizona with a number of them, as well as Jack Hibbs, as well as Sean Foyt, and even having Donald Trump Jr. go up there and from that speech with a bunch of people that are professing believers, and from there stating that we've gotten nowhere turning the other cheek. Donald Trump Jr. said, we've gotten nowhere turning the other cheek, and now we need to fight, rallying up the troops there. And I find that really, really interesting, because Jesus is the same one that said what? If my kingdom was of this world, then my servants would fight. We need to recognize that this is the lie that is going to seep in. This is the lie that is going to sneak in on people, and it sounds really good on the surface, that we do need to stand up, we do need to fight. And I found it really interesting that that's what Donald Trump Jr. was espousing. And I remember Barack Obama, when he was campaigning, people posting videos of him mocking the Sermon on the Mount as it couldn't stand up to foreign policy, or it wouldn't be much of a foreign policy if we just had the Sermon on the Mount, of course, doing drone strikes and so forth in his presidency. Of course, I guess that wouldn't work together with Sermon on the Mount, but I digress. The fact is that when we saw that, hopefully a lot of Christians pointed out that that is wrong. It's a misunderstanding, a misapplication, obviously, of the scriptural text. And I think Romans 13 and other texts as well would disagree with his understanding of simply isolating something for his own pretext and even using it to mock. But I would say the same thing to Donald Trump Jr. as pastors go up and say that, yeah, this is what we need to do. Turning the cheek has never gotten us anywhere. Have you ever heard of the Roman Empire? Do you know of its destruction and recognition that it was Christianity, not because they were fighting, but many people were converting? Just go look at the history. Go look at the history of the church. As Tertullian said, that blood that is spilled of the Christians is actually the seed of the church. And over again, the more they mowed down Christians, the more people said, that is a real faith. That's a faith that I can believe in. And so when we say things like this and think that now we need to control things, and then eventually that's going to help people convert, I'm sorry, it is just wrong, it is unbiblical, and it is outright dangerous and lines right up with exactly what I believe the Antichrist wants. So it is dangerous, and yes, I don't believe Donald Trump Jr. is a theologian or even a Christian, and so I don't hold him to the same standards. But for people sitting there in the crowd and cheering this raucous crowd cheering on Donald Trump Jr. saying things like that with other pastors to speak at the exact same event, that's a big problem for me. That's a big, big problem. And this is what happens when people put all their hope in the government and that sort of change rather than the heart change of so many people around them. And that's what we want. That's the goal. And I hope that's your spiritual goal for the next year, is to convert your neighbor, to share the gospel with whoever is next to you, to get the gospel out by any means. Because ultimately, if we go and we start cleaning the outside of tombs, dead bones are still inside. And what we need over and over again is people to be regenerated, born again, and be made new. And now the inside of the cup is clean, so the outside of the cup can become clean as well. And this idea of doing that with the government and cleaning up tombs all day is simply going to get you right to where a lot of fake and phony nominal Christianity has come to. The same ones that are drunk at the rodeo on Saturday night, and then they're at church on Sunday morning. This is not biblical Christianity. And you know what happens every time that drunkard shows up to church? Guess what? He stores up wrath for himself. And if the pastor who is teaching over them, that shepherd who is supposed to be watching over their souls, does not preach against that false doctrine of easy beliefism and that you can act as however you want and you're going to make it in, then guess what's going to happen? He's going to be judged as well because he's judged harsher. That's what it says in James chapter 3. But I say all that because we need to recognize the war that we are battling. The war that we are in battle at, and recognize it, because if you go out to war and you're not properly equipped, you are going to get annihilated. So when you think that everything is merely flesh and blood and not the principalities and the powers and the rulers, the dark realms of this world here that we have here, and that Satan ultimately is the god of this world, and that the prince of the power of the air is working through sons of disobedience, and that we're in a spiritual battle, we're already starting on the wrong foot. We're already starting out with the wrong equipment, and we're going to be drowning in the ocean, weighed down by the things of this world. And we do not want that. But I wanted to go over a couple of other studies because these are really, really important. As I said, I'm being very careful with the language that I'm using on these shows because I don't want them taken down, because this message, I hope, is one of hope that will bring, if you haven't come to Christ yet and you're here to just get some news, I'm telling you right now, it's time to turn before it's too late. Look at what's going on around you before it's too late. And when I mean too late, even if everything was bright and sunny and everything was great, the fact is that God holds your breath in his hand and you have no idea. Somebody takes a wrong turn and next thing you know, it's your last day here on earth. And you got one shot here to live it for Christ. There's an old poem by C.T. Studd, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last, and when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life was burned out for thee. And that's something you need to think about, because that's it for you if you died today. It's appointed a man wants to die, and then comes the judgment. That's it. You get one shot. So I want to bring this in, because this is a heartbreaking statistic, because if you went and looked at those who take their own life, the fact is that over and over again, you see studies that, hey, we've actually decreased the number of people taking their life during COVID. And that sounds really good. But when you actually look at the numbers, this is what the numbers say. In spite of the overall progress, young males and even children saw a spike in those taking their own life, including a 13% jump for boys ages 10 to 14. Guys, a 13% jump in 10 to 14 year olds thinking that there's no hope for them. I have an 8-year-old boy, I have a 6-year-old boy, I have a 4-year-old daughter, and I have a 2-year-old daughter. And thinking about my young boy taking his own life at 10 years old is something that would haunt me. And to think that we are not properly, and I'm not saying that for Christians. Christians, I hope you are properly doing this. But to see that they are thinking that there is no hope for them. And I guess if I turned on the news every day, that's what I would think too. But there is hope. There's hope in Jesus. But I want to bring a correlation. Not all, you can't always connect correlation and causation and so forth. Something could correlate, but not actually be the cause of it. But I do believe there's another interesting statistic here, because according to Frontiers Inn, the COVID-19 pandemic continues to cause an immense psychosocial strain worldwide. Excessive use of the internet during psychologically trying times, fueled by physical isolation as a result of lockdowns, has translated into dysfunctional behaviors. A growing body of evidence suggests an unprecedented increase in internet use and consumption of online adult films during the pandemic, and possibly even directly caused by it. In the review, the authors report data from relevant sources to show the rise in adult films use during lockdowns in different countries worldwide. In addition to a brief overview of the neurobiology of internet addiction, broadly and problematic online adult films use specifically similarities with substance use disorders are explained. Further, the current status of the debate about defining diagnostic criteria is discussed. Finally, the review sheds light on the potential detrimental outcomes during the future post-pandemic readaptation. Now, that's a lot of words to get through, but nonetheless, the reality is there is going to be a traumatic effect on people because of the things that they're looking at on their phones and on their TVs and on their laptops all over. And the depression rate there, as well as the social media use and the need for your brain to send off signals every time you get a like or a view or a comment on some TikTok or Snapchat or Instagram post or whatever, all of those things, you become so reliant and dependent upon them in the same way you do by watching adult films. And it's so, so dangerous. And all of these things, somebody taking their own life caused by depression, caused by, I believe, the usage of adult films and watching them over and over again, when you see these things, the correlation to them is obvious. People are trying to find joy. People are trying to find pleasure in the things of this world that do not satisfy. They will never satisfy you. They're never going to be there. They can't hug you at the end of the day. One of our most watched videos on our old channel, the Good Fight Radio Show, was a 511 News show where we talked about the singer Halsey and some of her very satanic symbolism in the videos she was doing. And one of the things she did talk about, which I found quite interesting, was the idea of now she's having children, even though she's very pro-abortion. But she talked about how at the end of the day, because so many people were like, why are you having kids? You're so young. She said, what, am I going to win an extra Grammy? I can't hug my awards at night. And that's true. You really can't. And I wouldn't trade anything for my children. And I couldn't imagine people trading the things of this world, even for children, let alone for a relationship with the living Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was raised on the third day in front of many witnesses. And the fact is that prophetically, because we think about this, many Christians will be celebrating Christmas tomorrow. And today is Christmas Eve, the day before Jesus was born. That's supposed to be what we're celebrating, right? Not that it actually happened on that day, but that's what we're celebrating. And all of the prophecies that led to Jesus coming, whether it's Micah 5:2 that says where he would be born, whether we look at Daniel chapter 9 that tells us when he would die, so we actually would know when he would be born as well. When we look at these things and see the signs of the time and recognize all the things that had to take place for Jesus to come when he came and for him to die that death, we also have to remember that he's coming back again. That the Messiah, as they would call it in Jewish literature before the time of Jesus, Messiah ben Joseph, the one who would come in the very image of Joseph, who was mistreated by his own brethren, thrown in a pit and so forth, just as Jesus was, but also Messiah ben David, who would have a earthly king rule as Jesus will have upon his return. Because as I said at the beginning of the episode, the normal that you experience is not coming back. Whatever that may be, even if the face diapers get taken off, even if people stop getting the jab and so forth, if that all stopped, which I'd be very surprised if it did, but if that all stopped, the normal is the reality that with social media, with the fact that people have been okay to be self-isolated away from those whom they love, and many a family know that their family died alone in a hospital without them. All of these things have allowed us to be ready to receive that, not us as Christians, but the world at large, to receive what is going to take place before Jesus Christ's ultimate second coming. And the fact is that 1 Thessalonians 5 and Ephesians 6, 17, both of them mention the helmet of salvation. Now, I don't have a long time to get into this, but the reality is I believe that the helmet of salvation is the promise of the Lord's return. And we put on that helmet of salvation knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for his bride. He's coming back for us. And the Bible says very, very clearly that he'll do this, as it says in Matthew 24, 29 to 31, but immediately after the tribulation of those days. So remember, Luke 21, I believe it's 27, talks about people's men's hearts fainting. They're fainting. They can't even, they're dying inside of them. How many men are dying of heart disease and so forth? that their hearts are failing them from everything that's going on in the world. Don't let that happen to you. But one of the things it says after all those distresses and everything that's going on, all the terrible things that are taking place in the world, and I believe we're being conditioned to accept these things as normative, as a society, he says, after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be dark and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the end of the sky to the other. And I correlate this to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and chapter 2, starting at verse 4, because ultimately what we're talking about right now is, when are we going to get our relief? When are you and I going to get our relief from this world? Why us as resident aliens in this world waiting for the Lord's return, knowing that we're going to be with him forever? Ultimately, when is this going to take place? And it tells us, therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all the persecutions and afflictions which you endure. Remember that Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonica, and he's reporting back to him some of the things they're dealing with. He already did in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, making sure they recognize that their brothers and sisters in Christ who had already died, they're still going to be with them in heaven as well. That the dead in Christ will rise first ultimately, and those who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. So he already addressed, hey, no, our brethren that already passed on, they're still going to be with us. Don't worry about that. They're going to be with us. And then in 2 Thessalonians, he's addressing something different. Maybe they missed out on this whole rapture thing. Maybe they missed out on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, this is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with afflictions those who afflict you, and give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well. When will we get our relief? When will the church get its relief? When the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who believed. For our testimony to you was believe. To this end also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. So we see when the relief comes at his second coming. So when is that coming? Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together, our episynagoge, our gathering together to him, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by the Spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you. Don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone take your crown. It will not come unless the apostasy or the falling away comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he sits in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. The reality is that when we look at this and we see quite clearly, one, when does our relief come? When the Lord comes back. Two, what are signs that we should be looking for? Because we are not children of the day or children of the night. We're children of the day. We don't get drunk as the drunkards do, for those drunkards get drunk at night, but we're children of the day. We recognize what's going on and we are not asleep, and we do look and recognize that the falling away will happen and the Antichrist will be revealed before ultimately that helm of salvation, the promise of the Lord's return, that we get to see that reality. And we no longer are those who are blessed, as Jesus said, because we do not see and yet still believe, but we become, what is that? Our faith now becomes sight. God bless you. And Merry Christmas.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5:11 News.